Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and holy crap, two Fyre Festival documentaries in 1 week? It's like Christmas is extended. And with me, I have...
If somehow I'm ever at the White House, please don't feed me McDonald's and Wendy's. You asshole cheap motherfucker.
And...
Now I'm thinking of going to the Ocean Service. So I cannot wait. Is everybody doing it now?
Well, fun fact, we actually did have that once back when we operated on a regular basis on Twitch. They kind of had like, I have no idea how Tyler and John set it up, but they kind of had like these auto-streaming blocks where they would play like, you know, various episodes of our miscellaneous podcasts.
Oh, damn, I forgot about that.
But, you know, you gotta admit, it would be more amusing than a fast food meal at, you know, the office of, you know, the leader of the free world. Bro, seriously. It, like, not even Bojangles.
Couldn't even spring for some chicken and barbecue. Like all of us in the Carolinas eat. God damn. Clemson did not beat Bama by 28 points for that, you cheap bastard.
You know what the dumbest thing is? You know the whole reason that... You know, Fuckface Von Clownshoe loves fast food is because he's a germaphobe and is convinced that, like, the way they prepare McDonald's and Wendy's, they so thoroughly sanitize it you can't possibly get sick off of it. Which is bullshit because, do I have to recite Burger King foot lettuce to you, sir?
Oh, God.
And I worked at fast food. I know. Oh, I know.
It's true. And, you know, I'm going to be honest, seeing that image is actually kind of a convincing argument to get me to back off the Wendy's for a while. You see what you did, man? You're making me hate food that makes me happy. I hope you're actually, no, I hope you're not happy, which from what it sounds like, you're generally not. But I just hope bad things happen to you. But anyway, episode 113. How's everything going with all y'all?
Been going okay. Had an alright week, not too bad, I suppose, and yeah, it was just one of those weeks where not a lot of stuff happened. It's the middle of January, what do you expect? We're all in a lull period right now.
Yeah, pretty much. What about you, Mark? Anything or nothing?
Yeah, pretty much, aside from me just doing my writing, which I've been starting since, well, hell, since the first day of January. Nothing exciting happened. We expect it's January. Nothing, you know, exciting happens, at least during the first few weeks of it.
Yeah, pretty much. I think at this point we're all just waiting around for Dragon Ball Super Broly to hit theaters.
Yep, I got my ticket and I'm ready for some big dickus in the face. That's not Big Chung. I had it right the first time.
You know, the funny thing is, there's actually IMAX showings in a theater that's like 10 minutes from where my job is at.
Yeah.
I'm contemplating. But anyway, as for me... Oh, go ahead.
I'm thinking I should go since, you know, it's the first time I actually experienced watching anime in, well, in my state. So I'm thinking about those choices, like, should I go? I mean, it'd be nice to watch anime in a theater. Get the experience.
You'll run into all kinds of people dressed as Piccolo. Mm. That's what happened last time I saw a Dragon Ball Z movie in theaters.
And again, you live in Florida, where there are people with machetes that say kindness on them.
Ha ha! What the hell even is this state? Anyway, as for me, yeah, pretty much a whole lot of nothing, although parents had a big get-together at the house for a lot of their friends, so I was just kind of cooped up here in the room, looking at the dog. She was being all cute and adorable. Praise be to dogs. Even though, yes, I'm aware there's the anime with the cats. But, yeah, pretty much nothing, except for, like, well, my Sentai Filmworks Blu-ray order of the Big O came in, literally my only purchase from the Sentai sale, because it's the only thing I really, really wanted. I'm very specific in my tastes, as you can tell. Shit, that reminds me, I still got some anime to catch up on. But that's unrelated. So, in the meantime, with all that out of the way, let's go on to the meat of the episode, starting, of course, with the new song discussions for the past week. As always, there's a playlist down in the description so you can follow along and know exactly what it is we're talking about. So just to get in the mood, let's start off with a little bit of a laugh. We got a new single here from an album coming out this month. The album is called Still Dwelling from a musician, air quotes, Neil Hamburger. And if that name sounds mildly familiar, that is the musical alias of comedic actor Greg Turkington, who most of you probably know as the co-host of On Cinema at the Cinema with Tim Heidecker, as well as the codemaster of the series within a series, Decker. Yes, I know all these things. I blogged about it once. But yeah, so with his return to the comedic personality, he comes with it a new song, The Luckiest Man in the Room. And of course, it has that ever so classic, like, loungy, sort of 40s, 50s vibe in the vein of Fred Astaire, with appropriately humorous lyrics about an unfortunate fellow befalling very tragic misfortunes, mostly because of Neil himself copping up in the dude's drink. And we don't know what the fuck exactly it is Neil had, but we can at least assume whatever it was gave the unlucky fellow tuberculosis. And also possibly led to divorce and bankruptcy somehow.
Ew.
So, technically, I guess luckiest man in the room Neil is by default. But yeah, that's nasty. And of course, there's the repeated, joke metaphor of a king, a queen, a ten. Now, I'm no expert in, poker or craps or card games or whatever the hell, but I'm assuming that's not a good hand to have.
Not without a jack and an ace, no.
What is that, like a full house, a flush, or?
A straight, or if you have all the same kind, a royal flush, which is the best kind of hand you can possibly get. I would know this because I'm a compulsive gambler.
Well, as long as you're not dumping millions of your parents' money into microtransactions and loot boxes.
Well, not anymore.
Oh.
Yeah, Dokkan Battle is a terrible game.
Anyway, moving on. So, have you all heard about this movie called Roma? A lot of people seem to be talking about it. It's on Netflix, but I haven't watched it yet. Although apparently it's the latest directorial effort from Mr. Alphonse Cuarón, who you might remember from such films as Gravity, Children of Men, and Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban. Yeah, I know. Harry Potter reference in 2019. Just go with it. So, anyway, apparently the movie's racking up a lot of acclaim, might even get some Oscar nominations once those finally drop. And, piggybacking off of it, singer Billie Eilish released a Roma-inspired track called When I Was Older. Now, I can't exactly verify that since I haven't seen the movie myself. All I know is that it's a song that sounds nice, I suppose. A pretty simple, like, kind of chime melody, possibly glockenspiel in the background. Very twinkly and, nostalgic sounding and nice. Eilish's vocals are very heavily coated in autotune, but it's the kind where there's like a little bit of fuzz while the melody is still maintained and, sounds nice. Kind of gets into a bit of a, trap drum vibe, at some point halfway through the song. Again, you'll have to take this with a grain of salt. It's okay, I suppose.
Yeah, this is a weird thing I stumbled upon because I look at her through some Roma, which is a very slow Mexican art film, which we talk about Mexico City in the 70s, and then you get Billie Eilish, which I heard a lot of things about, and also the reason why I noticed her because she was in a track with Denzel Curry on Taboo. It was Simon's with Jid. She was doing the vocals on that. Well, additional vocals on that. That's how I know her from. So this song sounds kind of nice. Like, I have got a little bit of her, background and what she made. Like, she's very alternative pop scene. Like, with different flares. Like, sort of like in the vein of, well, maybe in the vein of Lorde, but more was more kind of trappers like things. Like, yeah, the song sounds nice and all. Like, I do like the vocals and like. She is so smart. I'm like, she sounds interesting. I kind of want to give kind of do want to maybe someday go to her catalog, which she got an EP out, which, okay, I can do that shit. I mean, she's working on an album. I don't know when it's coming out, but yeah, we got a nice taste of what we got here.
I'll try to keep that in mind. Anyway, speaking of things that are on our mind, hey, look at that! We got more Dream Theater! Yay!
Yeah! All right. Okay, yes, we're back at it again with the second Dream Theater preview track from Distance Over Time, Fall Into the Light. And this one, it's a pretty solid metal banger all around. The track starts off with a bit of a powerful Metallica groove to lead into the first verse, switching from 6-8 in the intro to 5-4 in the verse. And per the lyrics in Apple Music, it appears that both John Petrucci and bass player John Myung handled the lyrics for this one, which I can tell with how much looser and more stream of consciousness the lines feel. It's got a nice progression leading into the chorus. Great sing-along moments with James LaBrie bellowing out those excellent vocals. Well done. And the instrumental break leads in with some solid triplet guitar runs before going into the more quiet and ambient section with acoustic guitars and a very pretty Petrucci guitar solo leading the song further along. It's very moody and atmospheric, and it sets a really great tone, especially with the animation video that Inside Out put up for this track. After all that's done, in comes Jordan Rudess with a very John Lord-sounding solo. He seems to be favoring organ sounds more than his usual lead patches. It's got me wondering if that'll be the case for the rest of these tracks. Just 5 weeks left. It's almost here.
You can feel the chugs, the double bass, the tremolo riffs, the keyboard solos that honestly kind of remind me of like the soundtrack to Final Fantasy VIII. I can't be the only one who hears that, right?
Probably. I mean, I did mention it sounded like John Lord, so yeah.
Well, you have different frames of reference than I do. And then guitar solos! Yeah, I mean, yes. If this is an album of more banger-esque Dream Theater tracks, I'm all for it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, let's move on from that to Kehlani, who is apparently working on a new mixtape for February, and we have a new track called Nights Like This, which features Ty Dolla Sign. I got nothing on this one. It sounds nice, I guess. She's an okay singer. I have no strong opinions here. Help me, Mork.
Okay. So it's like, anyway, yeah, this song is pretty nice. Like I said, I do like Kalani's vocal. Kalani singing on here, and she does a pretty good job here. And I will say the video, man, this video is kind of weird because you got her trying to build her own robot who takes care of her, and I'm just gonna say I think it went full Chappie kind of. I don't know why. I find the movie is like she takes over her body or some shit like that, and then Ty Dolla Sign comes in and is like, yeah, like, he got murked or something. Like, this is a weird video. Interesting, but a weird video. Like, the song is nice. Like I said, the song is very good. And hopefully the mixtape should come in February, which now she's got a lot going since, you know, her being pregnant. Let's hope it's, I mean, I got something interesting with this, and damn, this is weird. But I got my eyes on whatever she got next.
Yeah, the music video is pretty much the most interesting thing about the song, to be honest. Now, anyway,
I'll just say,
go ahead.
I just want to say this sounds like a track I'd hear in 2007, and I kind of like it. That video is all kinds of weird, though.
Yes, pretty much. But anyway, time to move on to our next couple of songs here, and brief warning, a trigger warning, so to speak, we are going to touch on the topic of suicide twice in a row, so you've been warned. So, first up, this past week saw a very unfortunate scenario happening with the rapper Cupcake, where she posted some very disconcerting tweets that implied she was about to commit suicide. However, she did not. She sought out, you know, appropriate, mental health care and everything. And it seems like she's doing better for herself, especially considering that following, you know, that whole scenario, came the release of a new track called Squidward's Nose. And if you know Cupcake, you pretty much know where that whole thing is going. And I would recite some of the lyrics and comparisons here, but if I did, I'm pretty sure that would immediately rate this podcast episode as NC-17, or adults only, and then no one's listening to it. But, you know, it's, you know, in that cupcake sense with just how outrageous and over the top a lot of it is, it's, you know, entertaining to listen to. And, you know, at least she has good taste in SpongeBob characters, I assume. I mean, I think Squidward fucks. Does Squidward fuck? I'm pretty sure he fucks.
Okay. The more he's faking. You know, Squidward knows is kind of like a. but yeah. The beat's entertaining. The hook is entertaining from Cupcake where she well. If I say was any more, we'll probably get, I don't know, that old instance he said earlier, but yeah, this is a pretty entertaining song, and I just can't stop laughing about it.
Squidward's nose, indeed. Lord knows what happens when this song hits Bikini Bottom Radio. Maybe it'll top Electric Zoo for the number one spot. And now, moving on to our next track here. So, quick little side note, when I was doing the playlist for my radio show last week, I came across the news that Mark Morton, guitarist for Lamb of God, was working on a solo album. It's coming on March 1st. It's called Anesthetic, and he's already released a track from it, one with Randy Blythe and one of the vocalists from Arch Enemy, I think. And now we got a new single here called Cross Off. And I'm guessing he must have had this album or at least some of these tracks in the pipeline for a while because the guest vocalist on this one is the late Chester Bennington of Linkin Park. So, yeah, there's that to deal with. But, you know, the song is pretty good. Again, with Mark Morton's particular, you know, playing style, naturally a lot of it is grounded in that kind of Lamb of God territory with his, you know, hammer-on, you know, lead guitar melodies, the super meaty, like, thrashy grooving chugs of the riff, the aggressive stomp of, like, the drums and bass. Side note, apparently two of the guys from Trivium are doing the rhythm section on this record. You know, it does, like, that, even the drums do kind of, like, that double bass thing where it kind of accelerates between, like, you know, 16ths and kind of, like, triplet 30 seconds at that super fast interval. And Chester, if you were looking for, you know, more metal sounds out of the guy in recent years, this is pretty much one of the last places we're probably ever going to be here, because he just goes, he goes quite ham on this. Again, it's still a little bit of those more clean, poppier sensibilities, but it strikes a nice balance between the mainstream and, you know, the harsh, you know, screamy hardness of it all.
Yeah, this is a really solid track. It's got me curious as to what else is going to be on this album, you know, in terms of, you know, musical approach. But I'm hearing Chester sing on here, and it makes me wonder even more why Linkin Park went in the direction they did for that last album, because If this has been here all this time, why go the super electronic alternative route? Whatever. Also, this premiere on Zane Lowe's show on Beats 1, so can we get some more metal on there, please? Like, I need a reason to listen to that without having to scroll through, you know, like 98% of that whole channel's existence.
I don't even know what they really do on that radio program anyway. I don't have access to Beats 1. As far as I know, anyway. But yeah, moving on from that, time for Adult Swim singles time. And it's one of those rare weeks where Alex gets to tag in, because this one comes from longstanding metal act Integrity, who had a new album out, I believe, 2 years ago, I want to say 2017, which I gave a listen to, and I quite enjoyed that one. I still have a huge backlog of theirs I need to get to. But it's their turn up on the Adult Swim block, and this track is called All Death Is Mine. Now, their sound usually, you know, it's part metal, kind of a bit of hardcore in there, and this one, it comes right out of the gate, sounding almost kind of like a really, like, hardcore version of, like, a super classic Judas Priest song. Those really driving guitar riffs, that steady pounding drums, the vocals themselves are very gnarled and gravelly in almost kind of like a High on Fire style, but like masked with kind of like some rough, like, you know, sort of almost like halfway between black metal production and like a Hatebreed track, especially once the bridge kicks in and the drums settle into a halftime groove and, you know, the vocals just shout like hell. There's also plenty of like super tap heavy guitar solos and everything. It's good stuff. It's straightforward as hell and soothes the soul. You know, as soothing as Integrity can make it.
Yeah, this is some good heavy shit right here. But I don't know if it was just how I heard it, but it felt kind of buzzy. I don't know if it was just the guitar tones or the added reverb going on here, but it sounded a little too overdriven.
Fair enough. Although that could just be like a quirk of their production choices, possibly.
Yeah.
But anyway, while we're on the topic of Adult Swim and metal, looks like the lads in Oozing Wound are gearing up to release their newest record on March 15th called High Anxiety. Now, in case you don't remember, last time we heard from these guys was, I believe, in 2016, and they were in my top five for that year. It was some good shit, man. And so with the album announcement, we of course have the first release single from the album, Tween Shitbag, which, as the band describes, is a song about, you know, shitty bands playing shitty music and being shitty people. You know, the kind of assholes that are more or less doing this as, like, ego trips or something. Almost kind of like it could be about a certain guy we've been talking about recently, but what do I know? And, yeah, it's, you know, firmly in the camp of, you know, Oozing Wound style. The riffs are really fuzzy and, you know, coated in layers of amp feedback. The bass itself is also really buzzy. There's a lot of those odd rhythmic intervals while also being simultaneously de-beated into oblivion in the drums. Noticeable change in the production just a bit because the vocals, Zach Wilde's vocals sound a lot more pronounced in the mix. Like, they're not as buried by, like, all the, you know, guitars and drum poundings and everything. So it kind of just sells the power of when he's, you know, sort of sarcastically screaming, like, "Whoa, man, I really love your band! Or at least I did!" Yeah, you know, like those assholes. Plenty of those squealing tremolo guitars in the breaks, you know, kind of swinging bass with, you know, the drum groove mixing, you know, sort of on 4/4 and in other weird rhythmic intervals. It's that good, you know, filthy, sludgy kind of thrash that's more my speed, man. Don't disappoint me, Wound.
Mm-hmm. This is also some good heavy shit right here with some more solid Metallica grooves, this time in the drums with that very Dire's Eve sounding intro. I can dig it.
And now we move on from all of that to the last track we got to talk about this week, courtesy of a producer that Mark is going to screw up the name of, so I'll just help him out as a backup, Mr. Gesaffelstein, who, mm-hmm. you know, is a producer, perhaps most well-known for working on Kanye's Yeezus, and apparently he's working on a new project called Hyperion, which is coming out sometime this year, and so we have the new single here, Lost in the Fire, which features vocals from The Weeknd. Because, you know, he produced a couple of tracks on, I think it was Starboy, or maybe some other project he did in the meantime. And, you know, the beat itself sounds okay, but, you know, The Weeknd, man, I just didn't care for him on there. Especially that whole fucking, like, oh, he's gonna fuck a lesbian straight thing. That's just fucking classless. Like, we're still okay, doing this, really.
Okay, Christ. Yeah, and the rookie referring to is he did some stuff on, The Weeknd / EP last year, My Dear Melancholy. So yeah, there's that. So with the production from guy whose name I cannot say or screw up easily.
Gesaffelstein.
Okay, fine. Gesaffelstein. Okay, fine. This track is okay. Got some nice sounds, nice '80s type of groove to it, and whatever, and. And The Weeknd, it's not one of his best tracks, to be honest. And even though he heard that one line, which puts no shade at Drake or somebody, because he mentioned something about, "I wouldn't hide my kid," or whatever the fuck he said. And I don't know. That just came and went. So this song sort of, like, this was like, this is like maybe like 4 to 5 times the beat came and went in my ear. Well, in and out. you know what the fuck I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Allow me to chime in as the one who, you know, can chime in on this regarding those lyrics in this track. Now, it's not my place to say whether or not these lines are actually homophobic, but personally speaking, this just isn't sexy, like, at all. So, yeah, just stop. This is never going to catch on. Stop it. Stop it, Weekend. Stop it and go to the corner. Think about what you've done.
Trust us, Alex is an expert on sexiness.
Sure, let's call it that.
Well, more so than I am, at the very least. Anyway, yeah, that basically just about covers all the song discussions. We're gonna take a quick break, and when we come back, we got some news, so stay tuned. And we're back. So, of our news topics here, three of them are festival announcements. And, you know, festival announcements are one of the big exciting things for people who can travel to them. Helps drive traffic to, you know, a lot of websites and everything, including sites like, for example, Pitchfork. But our first news story is not about those festivals, but rather about Pitchfork itself. It has been announced in the past week that, founder and CEO and editor-in-chief of Pitchfork, Ryan Schreiber, is moving on from the website. In a statement he made on January 8th, he tweeted out, "After 22 years serving alternately as founder, CEO, and editor-in-chief of Pitchfork, I have decided to move on from Pitchfork and Condé Nast," that being the media company that owns Pitchfork. "Although this decision was not an easy one, the time feels right, and I'm excited to open a new chapter of my life and explore fresh challenges. I'm immensely proud of all we've accomplished at Pitchfork. Its journey has been thrilling every step of the way, from its dial-up roots to present-day status as an award-winning media company whose name is synonymous with the best in music journalism and events. They were even granted the We're Not Fader Award last year, from what I heard."
Oh, that still hurts.
But anyway, yeah, this is somewhat of a big deal to note. Like, I know, like, Pitchfork tends to be a little bit controversial among certain music peers in regards to, you know, their approach to specifically, like, reviews and critiques and scoring and all that. Shit, I even saw people who hate Greta Van Fleet who thought Pitchfork was too harsh. Wild times. But there's no denying that pretty much for better or for worse, again, depending on your viewpoint, Pitchfork pretty much, like, set a certain, like, standard for, like, a lot of what we expect out of modern music websites and, you know, coverage and everything. Hell, there's still, like, you know, music blogs coming up to this day that are, you know, sort of formulated off the particular, you know, rhetorical approach they invented to, you know, covering news and music and everything. Shit, I'm pretty sure even the Melon probably has some Pitchfork in him on some level. So, to Ryan Schreiber, we wish you best of luck in your future endeavors, and hit us up. My email is robert@surrealresolution.com. Call me, we can work something out.
Yes, do that.
And don't worry, these two will, of course, come along, because they're my compatriots, and I need them. Because I don't know everything, I'm a friggin' idiot. Anyway, moving on from just that quick little thing, now it's time to move on to our three musical announcements. So, first up, we have the lineup for the 2019 Bonnaroo Music and Arts Festival, taking place June 13th through the 16th in Manchester, Tennessee. So, yeah, 4 days here, so that's 4 days worth of lineup. So, let's start off with what's going on Thursday, June 13th. Your big headliner is the Grand Ole Opry featuring special guests, whatever an Opry is. But the other acts scheduled for that day are Saba, Space Jesus, B2B Ephraim, B2B Schlump, I don't know what that means, but okay, 12th Planet, Sun Squabby, All Them Witches, Magic City Hippies, The Nude Party, Rolling Blackouts Coastal Fever, The Comet Is Coming, Jack Harlow, E-prom. Wait, didn't I just say E-prom? Jesus Christ. Caroline Rose, Donna Masal, Peach Pit, Heckler, and Dorfex Bose. So I'm assuming this is just like a warm-up day with like a lot of R&B and maybe electronic, I'm guessing. Because yeah, obviously the names on the subsequent days are much more recognizable.
Yeah, the Thursday day is always the sort of welcoming day. I mean, they got the freaking Grand Ole Opry as the headliner.
Yeah, pretty much anyone recognizing this here is Saba, because I heard stuff about him. And the name's pretty much like, who are they? And then, it's pretty much a warm-up day.
Yeah.
Anyway, who wants to cover Friday, June 14th?
I'll go ahead and do that. So, kicking off the festival proper on the first big day, Friday, your headliners are Fish, because, weed, and Mr. Donald Glover himself, Childish Gambino.
Woo!
Yeah, rounding out this list, we have Solange making the festival rounds.
Okay.
We have the Avett Brothers. Everyone's favorite boy band, Brockhampton.
Woo!
We have Grizz.
Weaver Bears.
R.L. Grime. Yeah. We have Beach House. We also have the Grizz Super Jam, whatever the hell that is.
Okay.
That's the official sequel to Crowbar Jones.
Oh, okay. Let's see. Nikitmer, whatever that is. Gojira!
Yeah! Very nice.
And rounding out the list, we have Courtney Barnett, Girl Talk, AJR.
Boo, you suck. No one likes me.
Yeah. Yeah. Catfish and the Bottlemen, Kay Flay, Anushka Shankar, Nako and Medicine for the People, Liquid Stranger, Deaf Heaven, very nice, Parquet Courts, Rival Sons, Ibeyai, Jade Cicada, Las Cafeteras, Sherry Glazer, the Teskey Brothers, Medicine, Tyler Yahweh, Ducky, Monsieur Periné, Mersive, and Crooked Colors. I say it that way because there's a U in it.
Ah, yes, of course. Getting all fancy all up in this.
Yeah.
But anyway, I guess that leaves Mark to take on Saturday, June 15th.
Okay. Saturday, we got the Posty Saucepan himself, Post Malone.
Oh, hi, Austin.
Got Odessa, Hozier. Remember them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Casey Musgraves, The National.
Ooh, nice.
The Lonely Island, okay.
Hey. I'm an adult! I'm not a part of your system, man!
And you.
Yeah.
Okay. Other guests we have include Juice Wardo. Joe Russo's almost dead. Wait, hold on. Hey, wait a minute. Wait, that'll be the Avengers. Never mind.
Well, I mean, remember, almost dead. For all we know, Thanos could snap his finger again.
All right. You got Gucci. All right. There's John Preem. Jim James, the full band, I guess. Got Mary Morris. Gram Tech, Shovels and Rope.
Grammatic?
Okay, yeah. Unknown Immortal Orchestra. Quinn. Oh, shit. XC.
That's 92.
92. I've got wrong numerals. Claro. Bishop Briggs. Hippocampus. Hey, Space Jesus. Oh, hey, Toki Monster.
Yay.
Chelsea Cutler. The record company. What record company? Sin Burn. Fuck it.
I'm going to go ahead and assume that's like Sunburn or something. Okay. Yeah, because everyone's doing the Fallout Boy thing of taking all the vowels out, apparently.
Okay, I see it now. Rustin Kelly. Whipped Cream, Robo Bucket, Lil Sims, Member, Divide the Hall, and DJ Mail.
Who are you people?
Yeah, Saturday is definitely a day for all the big name headliners.
Yes, as you can tell, once we round it back out to Sunday, June 16th.
Yeah.
Your headliner is two sets from Phish.
Oh boy, let me get my weed.
Jeez. And then following that is the Lumineers. Cardi B with extra hot sauce. Brandi Carlile. Illenium. Walk the Moon. Mac DeMarco. King Princess.
Okay.
He switched places with Chris Brown's body.
Ew. Ew.
Oh, God.
Ew.
G. Jones. Trampled by Turtles. Hopefully it wasn't mine Turtles.
Hello.
Oh. The Wood Brothers. Oh, Hobo Johnson and the Love... What the fuck kind of lover you make up with the Lovemakers, Hobo Johnson? You couldn't make love to a cantaloupe. Those things at least have standards. Princess featuring Maya Rudolph and Gretchen Lieberum. The Soul Rebels. The Lemon Twigs. 2 Feet. Which I hope they have 2 feet. That's important. AC Slater. Sid, wait, Sid? Is this Final Fantasy 16? Anyway, Dombreski, Bombino, Faye Webster, Ripe, Kikagaku Moyo. Oh yeah, I think I'm watching that show this season. And all the way at the bottom, this guy you may have heard of, Igloo Ghost!
Hey!
Why are you doing shoving him up all the way down there? As far as I'm concerned, they should be at least 3 lines up. At least above Hobo Johnson and Lil Dicky. What the fuck?
Yeah. But there is more to do here than just music. For instance, Haley Williams is curating an experience called the, quote, Sanctuary of Self-Love, which just sounds like a bunch of hippies jerking off, so I wouldn't go there.
Yeah, so, you know, you have that to look forward to as well. But if Bonnaroo isn't your cup of tea, perhaps you might be interested in Boston Calling. That is our second lineup we're talking here. That one taking place May 24th through the 26th in Alston, Massachusetts. Oh, dude, holy shit, I'm actually playing a show there next month. Nice. At the Harvard Athletic Complex, this being its 10th edition, you know, through about, like, 6 years or so, because apparently they've done this twice in 1 year at a couple points, which, damn, that's fucking crazy. But anyway, yeah, let's look at our full lineup here for the Boston Calling Festival. Your acts are... really? 21 Pilots?
Okay.
Travis Scott. Tame Impala.
All right.
Odessa. Logic.
Hey.
Cool.
Greta Van Fleet.
Boo! Why must
Anderson... I know. Why do they ruin everything? But Anderson.Paak and the Free Nationals.
Yay!
Hozier.
Okay. No way.
Janelle Monae.
Hey!
Brandi Carlile. Lord Huron. Sheck Wes. Rainbow Kitten Surprise. Christine and the Queens, Big Red Machine, King Princess, Black Star, Guster, Marina, Mitski, Tank and the Bangas, Clyro, Muramasa, Pockets Too Big Day Sumo, Denzel Curry, Snake Hips, which I assume belongs to the chick that has snake arms. You can see I'm waving my arms side to side right now. Like the video. We like ASDF movie here. Let's see. Snake Hips. Yaiji. Princess Nokia. Chromio. A DJ set. Snail Mail. Raven Lene, Gang of Youths, Young Fathers, Super Organism, Turnstile, apparently. Well, I mean Boston, you know. SOBXRBE.
Just together, I get, think.
Yeah, really delaying that breakup thing. This kind of sounds like some real Death Grips shit right here. So, Cassius Clay, Shame, Pale Waves, Pile, Rolling Blackouts, Coastal Fever, Dessa, White Reaper, Sydney Gish, Kylo Kish, Skeggs, Sasha Sloan, Naeem, Adia Victoria, and Easy Life. And apparently there will also be appearances from Michael Shea, Jenny Slate, Fred Armisen, What You Say, as well as the Boston Ballet, Melissa Villaseñor, Sam J, Marina Franklin, and Lamont Price. I'm assuming they might be part of a pre-show or doing DJ sets in between sets or something.
And also, you know, comedy, considering Michael Shea and Fred Armisen and sometimes Jenny Slate when she's not cursing on live TV.
Oh, are they comedians? I'm out of my
head. Yeah, these are all SNL alum.
I thought you said they were comedians.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, and screw you, Greta Van Fleet. The first rock band on SNL will show up in years, and it has to be you. This
is definitely a band that could use more cowbell. Actually, no, less cowbell. God forbid you rip off any other bands.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's move on from that to our very last festival lineup to cover this week, and that is the 2019 Governor's Ball, taking place from May 31st to June 2nd in Randall's Island Park in New York City. So let's talk about these three-day lineup here. So I will, of course, cover Friday. Friday, the first day of May 31st, you have Tyler, the Creator, Lil Wayne, Brockhampton, Gazafelstein, Georgia Smith, Blood Orange,
hey.
Mitski,
hey.
The Internet,
hey. Hey.
Jesse Reyes, Mew, okay. Or M.O., whatever it is, okay. Hippocampus, Amber Mark, The Voids, Rolling Blackouts Coastal Fever, Cautious Clay, Jeremy Zucker, Dennis Lloyd, Miles Kane, ooh, 100th, very nice, Still Woozy, Njamza, and Deal Casino. So already there's a higher ratio of names I recognize here compared to the past two festivals. So how about that Saturday, June 1st?
Okay, let's go through this. But before I do that, I want to mention, last time when we talked about Coachella, I mentioned that Kanye West was no longer going to be a headliner. Same with the Governor's Ball, no longer a headliner, and we now know why. The festivals would not build him a giant dome in the middle of the grounds.
Why?
At least Kanye's being on brand, I guess. Whatever. I put Kid Steak Ghost in my favorites, so you couldn't do this for me, Kanye? But whatever. Anyway, Saturday. Top of the list we have, oh, look at this. Florence and the Machine.
Ew.
Major Lazer.
Oh. The
1975.
I've never listened to a second of their music. I feel like I should be proud of that.
I hear it's a good sleep aid.
Mm.
All right. We also have here Casey Musgraves. Juju Pets, whatever his name is. Vince Staples, hey.
Hey!
Lord Huron. Okay. Ty Dolla $ IGN. That joke will never get old. Playboy Cardi, hey. And we also have here King Princess, Denzel Curry, Clyro, Raven Lene, Saba, ELO Him, that's how I'm going to say it, Sunflower Bean, U.S. Girls, Calpurnia, okay, weird name, Dreamers, Suzy Wu, Easy Life, and Toby Lou.
Right.
I see a more of an alternative influence in this lineup mostly with Florence and the Machine in 1975, but still some good names on here.
Don't forget the hip-hop.
Well, yeah, obviously.
Everybody will soon be able to die lit. Double asterisk. So now that leaves Mark to round things out here with the lineup for Sunday, June 2nd.
Yes. On Sunday we have The Strokes, Nas.
Wait, hold up. The Strokes and The Voids. Huh. Same weekend.
Weird.
Okay.
Julian Casablancas is pulling double duty, I guess.
Yes, so, all right. We also have Nas, SZA, right?
Yay.
Lose a Child. Okay. Kitchenada, yes.
Woo!
Sheck West, Beast Coast, which is Joey Badass, and Flatbush Zombies.
Interesting.
Okay, we have Lily Allen. Remember her?
She's still around?
Why?
Amazing.
I think I don't know. Okay, there's Bozzy. All right. No Name. All right. Charlie XCX. Bob Moses. And of course, the breakup, not breakup, I don't know who they are anymore. SOBXRBE. Got Chelsea Cutler. Old 70 Shake. You be putting a lot nowadays. Yeah, Parcels, Taylor Bennett, Soccer Mommy, the Underachievers.
Oh, hey, that's what I call Tyler and John on their podcast.
Damn. Okay, we also got Kirk Knight and Nick Caution. Fun fact: they made an EP called Nick and Knight.
Oh. And,
yep.
Is that even still a thing?
I don't know. Right, there's Jack Harlow, Aaron I don't know. Shahid, Rick Wilson, and what culture? Damn, I can't even. Damn, fucking.
MK Ultra. I think it's a reference to, like, conspiracies about government mind control. And it's also a Periphery song, which is really damn good.
Mm-hmm.
One of their best, I would say. So, yeah. So, all those festivals, and, you know, it seems like there's obviously, you know, shared lineups here. You know, your Denzel Curry's and your SOB, RBE's, all of that fine, lovely stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they obviously have to, because, you know, they're probably piggybacking off of good albums and shit, still in that album cycle and everything. Although, dear God, why Greta Van Fleet? It's just staying out of New York now, I guess. But, whatever. Obviously, all of us are way too broke to go to that shit, so we'll just sit here snorking from afar unless they decide to live stream any of this like Coachella is. But anyway, with the news out of the way, time to take care of the last bit of, business for this week, and that's the new album releases for the week of January 18th, 2019. Starting at the top, we have the newest album from long-running metal act Malevolent Creation with The 13th Beast. There's a new project from rapcore music act Fever 333 with Strength in Numb 333 RS. Papa Roach with Who Do You Trust? We got a new one from Toro y Moi with Outer Peace. A new project from Deer Hunter with Why Hasn't Everything Already Disappeared? Which is pretty much what I said when I found out there was a new Papa Roach album coming out in the year of our Lord 2019, but whatever. There's a new James Blake project called Assume Form. Mike Posner is dropping a new album called A Real Good Kid. Rich the Kid is dropping The World Is Yours 2. We have the self-titled project from the Aesop Rock and Tobacco collaboration Malibu Ken.
Oh, yeah.
And Future's new album, The Wizard.
Okay.
Fuck you, it's January.
Yeah. Anyway, now time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
Same place as always, same name as always, War of Asher, where you can find me doing whatever stupid crap I feel like doing on any given day, which, yeah, you should totally do that by now.
Mark, what about you?
As usual, Matt Tevin Media on Twitter and on my site, TheMindHappyOne.wordpress.com. Of course, well, I just finished doing a lot of Time to Season stuff, which, well, I've seen more premieres, so yeah, just read all that shit. And of course, got a story coming up. It's called Loyals. The release date is to be determined, so stay tuned for news on that.
Indeed. Anyway, as for me, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Curious Cat at Rob Barracuda. Email me, Robert at Surreal Resolution, for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Subscribe to the podcast on Google Play and iTunes. New audio-only episodes come out every Wednesday. Video highlights usually go up by the weekend on the official YouTube channel, so subscribe. Hit the bell tab so you're notified when new stuff goes up there. Be sure to visit us at SurrealResolution.com. Follow us on Twitter at SurrealReso. Like us on Facebook. All that good stuff. You know, keep up with this podcast and podcast O&A there. Be sure to keep up with our written content. Hopefully I'll get back to the swing of album reviews if anything interesting happens lately. And, you know, be sure to jump into our Discord if you ever want to, you know, smash it up with the boys. And a shout out to the producer, Mr. E, for graciously letting me use his music for this podcast. Links to his shit down in the description. Well, that'll about do it for this week. Thank you for joining in. And until next time, you know, I think I finally get sicko mode. Actually, that's a lie. I'm still not sure I get sicko mode. I just